it's a plaque, ¿verdad? Que le dieron. Y dice Texas Talent Musicians Association proudly inducts Valdemar González, performer, into the Tejano Music Hall of Fame for your excellence in the Tejano music industry. Excuse me. And this was given on February the 20th, 1985. Who received this for?
It was one of my cousins received it because we were not able to attend. But let me get an article in the newspaper.
Y este periódico que dice.
Este es el número.
Oh, I thought maybe it had something. ¿Se acuerda cuando nació su hijo Valdemar?
Oh, seguro que sí.
¿Me puede decir la fecha que nació?
En 1928, el 30 de mayo.
30 de mayo. Déjame ver si está grabando. ¿Dónde nació el 30 de mayo de 1928?
28.
Y murió, ¿qué año murió él?
Ay, ahorita creo que se murió.
Parece que me dijeron, quizás a Silvia se acuerde. Me dijeron que había muerto en 1974. ¿De qué murió?
No sé.
¿Se murió de repente o ya estaba enfermo?
No estaba enfermo, nomás que pronto, ¿verdad? No duró mucho enfermo. Yo creo que tal vez sería como el corazón.
Algo así. Él nació ciego desde que estaba, nunca vio él.
No.
¿Cuándo empezó él a demostrar talento para la música? ¿Se acuerda usted?
Pues no me acuerdo porque él en la casa nunca cantó, como de chiquito, ¿verdad? Que hay veces que andan cantando,
sí.
Él nunca cantaba.
Nunca cantaba. ¿Cómo aprendió a tocar el piano? Tocaba el piano, ¿verdad?
Sí, cuando estuve en la escuela, yo creo.
¿En la escuela?
Porque estuve en la escuela de Austin.
¿Cuándo lo escuchó cantar usted a él por primera vez? ¿Que se dio cuenta usted que este joven tenía talento para cantar?
Pues no supe hasta que no salió ya cantando.
Ya para cuando acordó ya andaba cantando él.
Ajá.
Es que cuando estuve en la escuela for the School for the Blind in Austin, ahí fue donde tomó el música.
Oh,
and he
okay.
First his teachers started him out with the violin, but he didn't like the violin, and then. So then he took the piano. He liked the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know at what time he learned to play the saxophone and the clarinet, pero he learned those well. Pero there at school, cuando él aprendió a tocar the piano, that's where they had a little group. The students had a little band going while he was in the School for the Blind.
I see.
And they would play at parties. So this was in his early teens.
Do you know when he started going to school for the blind in Austin? ¿Qué edad tenía Valde cuando empezó la escuela allá? Nice meeting you, Mr. Wilkins.
Pues maybe que 9 or 8, porque es cuando comienzan a ir a la escuela, ¿verdad?
Well, from the beginning. See,
it's in the beginning.
The only time he left the school for the blind was he went to high school, public school here, and it was in his... either 10th and 11th grade, because
uh-huh.
He didn't graduate, he didn't finish. I think he got out of school at the 11th grade.
But that was here?
That was here.
Not at the...
No.
Could he have graduated from the School for the Blind? I mean, do they have regular instruction? Did they have regular instruction programs?
I have no idea.
But in the School for the Blind, he probably learned Braille and stuff like that.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He learned Braille.
And he learned how to play some instruments while he was there. Huh?
Piano, saxophone, clarinet.
Did he ever play... I always associate, I didn't even know that he played clarinet and saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
To your knowledge, did he ever play those instruments with any groups?
He played with his band. Let me get you.
You
can read that if you want.
Oh, este es del 49, mira nomás. Tiene un artículo del periódico de 1949. The pleasure, profit, and principal expression of Valdemar Valde González is in the siren song of Spanish music. Can I have a copy of this? Or is this the only one you have?
This is a copy of a copy, and I think I don't know if I have it or not. I wasn't.
Let me assure you of something, Sylvia. All the It's extremely important for me to have pictures of Valde, of his band. because I want the book to speak, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, as mm-hmm. you know. And all the other bands I've got pictures for.
Same.
Now what I have done is I usually take the originals at the university. I have copies made, and then I can mail you the original, because I know you want the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I can promise you that with my heart, that I will not keep the originals under any circumstances.
Well,
I know they're important to
yeah,
you.
Well, the other ones we let go, we haven't gotten back. And
I
that
know,
was in 85. And I'm sure they meant well, too.
But that's a problem. And this is for a book. I mean, this is mm-hmm. a book. Let me tell you something. I'm writing a book that's mm-hmm. going to be published by University Press. It's a history of the Mexican-American Orchestra. And it's a scholarly book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a professor. And it's the kind of book that tells the story like it is for future generations. When people go to the university and study, these books are adopted by classes. People, you know, professors
mm-hmm.
who teach music will adopt these. And so people will learn, you know, what was really going on. And when you have pictures to help out, I mean, it's just tremendously
well,
important.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to take a picture with a camera or just like a photocopy?
No. They have special cameras at the university. They take a picture with that and make
mm-hmm.
a duplicate. In fact, I could make one an extra for you if you want to. And then we
mm-hmm.
also make slides so that we can put them
mm-hmm.
on there. And then the negatives. I can either send you, I'll send you the original, of course, but I can also send you negatives if you want, so that you, if you ever need to make copies.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can send you a copy of the original, whatever
yeah.
you want.
Well, my sister's there. I would hate to turn loose of any of these pictures
well,
without
her
being present.
Okay.
And then she hand delivers them, waits there till they're done, and then she can pick them up.
All right.
I mean,
well,
I mean, that's how we feel, because like I said, we've already lost the others, and I feel sick over that.
Yeah.
But there he's playing the
oh,
saxophone.
This would be a great picture.
And there he's playing the clarinet.
Así es que, Valde estuvo en la escuela en Austin.
En Austin.
En la escuela para los ciegos.
Sí.
Entonces él se vino después de tuvo varios años ahí en Austin.
Pues sí, venía, ¿verdad? Porque iba nomás durante la escuela
durante
y luego en summer se venía para acá cuando no, en vacación.
¿Cómo qué edad tendría él cuando se fue para Austin? ¿Estaba chico todavía?
Estaba chico.
¿Y usted iba y lo miraba allá a Austin o?
Sí, íbamos a verlo, ¿no? Visitarlo.
Sí. Y pero vino, se vino para Beville después.
Sí, ya después que
ya estaba grandecito.
Sí, ya estaba. Pues grande, ya casi para acabar la escuela.
Me estaba diciendo así de ahorita, como usted escuchó, que vino, estuvo aquí, se salió de como del grado 11, ¿verdad?
Sí,
sí, vino a la escuela.
Porque no acabó la escuela.
Sí. ¿Entonces se dedicó a la música desde entonces o qué?
Pues yo creo que fue entonces, porque pues en la casa no se veía que él cantara o así nada.
Uh-huh. Toda la práctica la hacía en
sí.
con los otros muchachos. ¿Te acuerdas usted que tocaba bien el saxófono, el saxofón?
Oh, sí, el clarinete también.
¿Y el piano?
Oh, ese era el que tocaba siempre.
Sí.
Sí.
¿Él fue casado?
Sí.
¿Con quién se casó él? ¿Quién era la esposa de él?
La mamá de él.
La mamá de estos muchachos.
Silvia Cisneros.
Silvia Cisneros se llamaba. ¿De dónde?
Decían Tute.
¿De dónde ella era?
Era de aquí.
De aquí de Lima. Uh-huh. ¿Y tuvieron nomás los dos muchachos?
Sí.
Sí. ¿Se separaron en algún tiempo?
¿Para qué quedaron él solo y ella sola? Seguro que sí.
Se separaron, sí. ¿Ya para cuando se fue para Houston, ya él le estaba?
Yo, sí.
Uh-huh. ¿Allá murió en Houston?
¿Él?
Sí. Parece que me dijeron que había muerto en Houston.
Sí, pero lo trajeron para acá.
Oh, sí.
Sí.
Now this picture, it says here back here that it was, is that at 20, is that supposed to indicate his age?
Sí. Mm-hmm.
So he was barely
mm-hmm.
20. That means that picture would have been taken around 1948, 49, since he was born in
1928. Mm-hmm. May.
So this would be the late 40s, and they already have a regular band here, I mean, in terms of
mm-hmm.
the instrumentation.
Let's see, here's the... Oh yeah, you can have that copy. I have the original
okay.
here.
Thank you very much.
And see, not the same picture.
No. Oh,
okay, this one.
Let's take a look at this. Now this one has Valde playing saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Marroquins are there. It's three saxophones, two trumpets. You don't know these people, do you, by any chance? This man looks familiar here. But in fact, both of them do, but I can't.
I don't know them. ¿Cómo se llamaba este Cuco, que le decían Cuco?
Yo no me lo conocía por Cázares,
Refugio Cázares.
Pues yo creo, Cuco Cázares.
¿A cuál es el que tocaba el bass?
El gordo.
Los trompetistas, ¿esos no los conoce usted? Ese es Delgado. Los que están ahí en la... ¿No sabe quién son estos hombres? ¿La casualidad?
No.
They look so familiar to me, but yet can't seem to work.
Hijo, están bien jóvenes todos ahí. Lupe es el del bajo.
Oh, Lupe. Lupe Marroquín.
No, Lupe... Lupe que es. Lupe Cáceres, no.
Había unos Cáceres de... I think they were from Corpus or from Laredo, who were very good musicians.
Well, Cuco Cáceres. ¿A cuál es él, ama? ¿Cuál de ellos es él?
Ese,
el del bass.
¿Y este Raúl?
Marroquín.
Ajá.
Pues uno de los, aquellos tiene que ser uno de los marroquines, entonces.
Sí.
La trompeta.
There's a man in Corpus Christi que se llama... ¿Cómo se llama? Rey Barrera. Que él tocó con mi papá, pero no me acuerdo en qué año. But
you mean he's still living?
He's still living. He's...
Wait a minute, he wasn't the blind guitarist, was he?
Oh, no.
Because there was a Rey Barrera who was a blind guitarist who played with Beto Villa for a long time.
No, this one is not. And he lives there in Corpus Christi todavía. He must be, I don't know, maybe 60, 50. I don't know. He was a young, él comenzó, he didn't start out with the original band.
Mm-hmm. Do you know when this photograph was taken, Sylvie? This particular one here.
Well, let me see. I don't know if it has a date on the bottom.
Did he at some particular point, see, I never associate him with, you know, as a sax player. Did he at some particular point begin concentrating on the piano? Or did he always play both piano and the saxophone?
Well, he always played that. He always, pero, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
When he went solo, that's when he was playing mainly the piano, pero he always played the piano. I know he did play a lot of times. I don't think this has a...
Well, it looks like probably from the early 50s or late 40s.
It's in the 50s.
You wouldn't happen to know artistas exclusivos de who... ¿Qué compañía era la compañía de Melco? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea about his business activities. Mm-hmm. If you want to know about his personal, en eso, as a father or what, but
yeah.
As far as his musical career, other than when we were little, que íbamos a los bailes to see him dance, you know, so.
Tell me about that. You actually did go to some dances where he played.
Mm-hmm.
What can you remember about the dances?
Nothing, because we were very little.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very little. I was born in 1946. So he was here in the 50s,
yeah.
And we didn't go all the time. Only when he played here, de vez en cuando we would go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why.
¿Usted nunca fue a los bailes de Valle? ¿Cuando tocaba aquí en vivo?
Pues sí, pero no todo el tiempo.
You know, they were raising two little girls.
You and
yes,
you
and my sister. So it wasn't like, and we, you know, we just didn't go every time, and we'd go for a little while. I remember going for maybe an hour or 2 hours, and we'd come home.
¿Cómo qué clase de bailes tocaba aquí en vivo? ¿Quién amenizaba los bailes que tocaba él?
Pues ahorita no le podría decir quién.
¿Pero se llenaban los salones?
Oh, sí.
De gente.
Uh-huh.
¿Qué clase de música te acuerdas que tocaba Valde?
Pues era la moderna.
¿La moderna?
Sí.
¿Y qué clase de música era esa?
Fue la que tocaban en aquel tiempo.
Boleros y...
Sí, boleros. To me, in fact, I don't know if they wrote it on there or somewhere that I read. It was comparable to the big band era, pero in the Spanish, el Latino rhythm. Now, there's a man in Houston that he compiled a lot of information on my father. ¿Cómo se llama Junior? ¿De qué se apellida? El hijo de... El hermano de Rosa Torres y Gloria.
What was he, why was he compiling all that information?
Garza,
well,
isn't he Garza?
It's Garza. Uh-huh. For this, and he, probably his business.
Let me take down his name. Maybe I can contact him.
Se llama...
Castro. No, se llama como el papá.
Se llama Gleason Jr., that's all I know him. Garza.
Pues sí, Garza Castro.
¿Eh?
Tiene que ser Castro. Junior.
¿Así se llamaba el papá?
¿Se pedía Torres?
Garza.
Garza.
Mm-hmm.
And you think his name had been Castulo?
Pues she thinks it's papá. ¿Así se llamaba el papá de Gloria y de, mm-hmm. de Rosa? Okay. Well, se llama Junior, and everybody knew him as Junior. Garza.
And he was doing as part of this, you said?
I think so.
I see.
He was compiling a lot of things. I'm not sure.
Is he one of the people that took some pictures and never returned them to you?
No, this was somebody else from Houston, from San Antonio.
I see. And that is a brochure?
Yes, this is a in fact, I think it was this guy. Somebody there. I don't know. So many. I don't think I gave them to him unless I said, well, that was one we could part. But it was just, it really wasn't, I didn't give him any of these pictures.
Oh,
I only gave him a picture or let him have or use or whatever, a picture of him in it was a studio picture where he's holding his saxophone. I mean, clarinet.
Yeah.
And that's all I think I released.
I know Clay Shorty, the first one listed here. And they're the ones that established the Texas Music Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
So that's why I don't know how helpful we can be.
Well, believe me, you've already been helpful simply by the little that you've said.
No, I can. In fact, I'm going to have to be leaving to Houston at 2:00 today. I can take these pictures.
Would you please
have my sister?
Why don't you give me her number and I can contact
yes,
her.
Yes, okay. 495.
Hang on for a second, let me write it in here somewhere. Actually, I want to write it in here. I have your name down here. Your sister's name is...
Is Geraldine.
Wilton. No, it wouldn't be Wilton.
Martinez. Her number is 495-2394.
2394.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You tell her that I will be contacting her.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you just want a picture of these right
yeah,
here?
Yeah. Here's what I do with them. This is I think this is you've heard of the Galvanes from Corpus Christi?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
This is Ralph Galvan's orchestra.
Okay.
Doña La Negra performing with him. I don't know if you ever heard of her.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, like I said, I can take this one out maybe.
Yeah, that's a great picture right there. That's a beautiful picture. That one I definitely would like to have a copy of. So he had the band. Do you know how many years he had a band or how... I'm trying to get a sort of a feel for how long, you know, how long he was active musically. I guess he was playing just before he died, is that correct?
Oh, yes. Up until he died. He was playing, but he was playing by himself at the Ramada Inn in Houston as a jazz, you know, player.
Uh-huh.
He played the piano by himself with the, you know, that side man that they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did he move to Houston?
I have no idea.
Was he there for a long time or just a few months?
Let's see, he died in what year?
Somebody told me 1974. Was that you who told me that? Or?
Okay, yes, in 1974 he died. All right, so I don't know.
Are you
going
to be able to? You might want to take off the whole thing instead. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
Está bien pegado, eh?
I think so. I hate to ruin it.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I might have to just take the page out and do and.
No se le quitan. Yes, they do. I think they do. But of course, you have to take one by one. That's going to be.
Same. Well.
But you really should have some copies of that anyway, and I can provide those for you, so that you'll have some fresh copies. Getting back to your dad, how long was, is that a picture of you, you and your
sister? Me and my sister.
What was, I think I told you about this before, but el pensamiento me ligero. Me estaba diciendo Darío Pérez, él se acuerda de un incidente que pasó, que dice que habían ido a tocar y había un muchacho que tocaba no sé qué instrumento que tenía una pata de palo. Y cuando llegó, se quitó la pata de palo y la puso quién sabe dónde. Y una de estas niñas vio la pata que estaba... la pura pata sola y que empezó a gritar.
Pero no fue así, fuera de que... Una sobrina mía estaba casada con Raymond García y a Raymond era el que le faltaba la pierna. Y cuando entramos, pues él estaba acostado y su pierna estaba allí y que... Bueno...
No, entonces no era uno de los músicos.
No.
Es que Darío Pérez oyó el gallo cantar, pero no supo para dónde.
Pero era músico también,
sí,
era tío. Era tocaba músico, guitarra.
I see.
So,
anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. As I started to tell you, I was trying to see if I could establish... I know some of the things about your dad. I've got some of his recordings. I know that he was very popular in the 40s and also in the 50s. Do you have any idea what happened to him in the 60s? Was he still recording? Was he still playing? Was he playing solo?
I think mainly he was playing 60s from what I can remember, because in the 60s I was in high school. And he did not have a band at that time. So he played... You know who you might can ask is those marroquines. They would know when did the orchestra que se disolvió.
I will.
Because they went, yeah, their separate ways.
Yeah.
So they could probably tell you.
Okay.
You see, I wouldn't know that. Pero in the 60s, he didn't have a band in the 60s.
That you're pretty much
That I'm sure. pretty sure of.
Okay. So that means he probably was playing by himself in the 1960s.
And in fact, in the 60s, I'm sure he was already living in Houston. He
okay,
was already
important.
Living in Houston.
But you wouldn't know when he moved there.
No.
When did you graduate from?
In 65.
It's like jog your memory a bit. He wasn't in Beville by then, huh?
No, he never lived here.
He never lived in Beville.
Other than just maybe, a couple of years maybe, temporarily.
I see.
And that was back in the late 50s.
So you spent your lives basically with your grandparents?
All my life.
They're like parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you ever visit him in Houston?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to any of the places he played while he was in Houston?
In 1972 is the only time I went to that Ramada Inn. Yes, because I was on my way to New York, and we went there to hear him play right before we left, but that was the only time.
And he was at the piano bar?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an impression of the kind of music he played at that place? If you think back?
It was jazz.
Basically jazz?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And did he sing as well?
Uh-huh.
And he sang English?
He sang English. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you see him again after 72?
We saw him in March of 74.
And then he died shortly after that?
He died in May, I guess.
Of 74. What did he die of?
He had impaction. One of his intestines burst.
But he had no symptoms before that. I mean,
he had a flu sickness. He felt sick, but apparently, it maybe from an impaction or whatever in the intestines, and that burst, and that poisoned his system.
Yeah.
So he went into a coma and never recovered.
Oh, what do you call it? Well, it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been impressed, and I think I mentioned that in the little cassette, with maybe your mom, your grandma can help in this respect. Siempre me ha impresionado a mí el estilo de la música de los tejanos allá en los 40 y los 50. ¿Usted conoció a Beto Villa?
¿A quién?
A Beto Villa.
Oh, pues nomás de vista, ¿verdad? Tiene los bailes así.
Beto Villa tocaba una música que siempre dicen que era muy ranchera.
Sí.
Tenía un sonido muy muy oroso en el saxofón. Tuve la oportunidad de entrevistar antes de que se muriera a Armando Marroquín. ¿Se acuerda usted de Armando Marroquín de casualidad? You probably would know who he is. Era el dueño de los discos Ideal.
Oh.
Que eran muy famosos los discos Ideal. ¿Se acuerda que todos grababan? Valde González grabó con...
Sí, pero yo no lo conocí.
Bueno, este Marroquín era el dueño de Ideal y pues él conocía a todos los músicos. Unfortunately, I never talked to him about your dad. We started to talk about it, about your dad, and Marroquín liked to ramble. I mean, he loved to talk, and he just went on it, and I couldn't get him back, you know, and that was about 10 years ago. But Beto Villa tocaba la música muy ranchera, pero Valde siempre me impresionó a mí con la música, no era tan ranchera.
No.
No le gustaba a él la música así, tan ranchera como
él dijera algo nada. Él nunca platicaba de eso.
Yeah. It seems to me that your dad, he must have been influenced by his stay in Austin. There must have been like Americans there, Americanos, gringos, if you will.
I'm sure,
their music must have influenced him, you know, considerably. Mm. Because it strikes me that his music has always been what people used to call más haitona, way back in the 50s. Era más arreglada la música de Valde, más bonita, más... and I just wondered if you had any ideas about why his music was more sophisticated, generally, than... Darío Pérez had a very raunchy band, but your dad seemed to me, at least a lot of the recordings that I've heard, that he strove for a more sophisticated, a more, what Marroquín called a more high-class sound.
Mm.
Does that sound like your dad?
Yeah, I would say. When I listen to the music, it sounds, I do think of the big band era in the English, the Spanish version.
Yeah.
Of you know, Tommy Dorsey and right. all of these, that type, even though it has a Latin rhythm to it,
right.
especially cuando toca las polcas y las canciones. I saw a lot of the, I don't know what influenced this, maybe his breakup with my mom. Las canciones were always not really a love song, it was more of a after a breakup.
Right. Did he compose some songs?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember any of the songs he composed? That would be a real...
Uh-huh.
If you can tell me a couple of
all of those songs he made, he composed.
Really?
Yo creo que la que él compuso fue el que me puede ya
importar. Oh, ese era de él.
Que me pudiera. Oye Corazón.
Oye Corazón también era de él. Okay.
You know,
me
contaba.
Fíjate nomás.
All right. Bueno, well, la Playita Polka, él compuso esa.
Sí.
Oye Corazón, ¿qué me puede importar? Pues todas estas that I know of, I've never known que somebody
else... Es que en los discos
well, let me see.
Vienen otros compositores. The songs are not attributed to him. You know, on the records that I have, it says somebody else was a composer. I thought there was his songs, and then I was corrected. I was told, no, look, the record says that this song belongs to somebody else. Like, I thought Cuéntame Tu Vida was his song, and it may not have been, I'm not sure, but...
Usted sabe que tiene los discos ahí en la casa, the original, 78 or whatever they were called,
Yeah, these are all the, how did you get these on there?
I copied them from my uncle. He had all the originals, and he got them from a radio station that, you know, quit playing them.
Yeah. Aquí está el pavo, I'll just for the machine, I'm el pavo real, qué lindo es mi Texas. Would that be a polka?
Sí.
De hecho, mucho menos, probably either a fox or a bolero. Huh?
Bolero.
Seas como seas,
¿es
era bolero?
Todos esos son boleros.
Cabecita Roca.
Sí.
No te preocupes, that's a beautiful arrangement, I have that one. Boy, that's, to me, that's one of his best songs. The band sounds great, everything sounds great. Nena, si tú me quieres... ¿Qué me puede importar? That was re-recorded by Little Joe y La Familia.
I have never heard it.
No hables mal de mí, hay que olvidar, quiero, amor vencido. Cuéntame tu vida. Little Joe made a beautiful arrangement of that. back in the 70s. You ever heard that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'll have to make copies of it just because.
Mm-hmm.
Para quererte, si no te amara tanto, that's another one of his classics. Oye, corazón, another one. La pala, ¿la qué?
La playita.
Oh,
should be la playita, but they wrote it wrong
on
the
palayita,
thing. Sí, pero debe ser la playita.
No he podido olvidar, no hables mal de mí. La cordeña? La corpeña.
La corpeña. Es una polca.
Is that a reference to Corpus Christi?
Could be. You've never heard him?
No.
No.
Que pido más? Welcome to the club. My shoes keep walking.
Okay.
Back to you.
Yeah, those he recorded with the lady that sang at the club with him when he was by himself there
in Houston.
Houston.
Wow. This is something. There's some real classics in here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you realize how good your dad was.
Oh, well, I think he's pretty good. I have this on cassette. Pero primero I had it taped on this, and then I transferred these into a cassette.
I have some of the original 78s
mm-hmm.
that your dad recorded. And, of course, all the stuff that he did with Ideal, I have. Because tengo un amigo allá en San Francisco
mm-hmm.
que tiene años de tener una compañía de discos que se dedica a rescatar discos históricos
mm-hmm.
de mexicanos, de negros, de... polacos de todos, y este hombre fue y le compró todos los archivos de Ideal, se los compró al sobrino de marroquín que se había quedado con everything,
mm-hmm.
all the tape, everything, all the library, and this man, se llama Chris Trockett, bought everything, and now he's re-releasing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
The little cassette that I left for your
mm-hmm.
That came out of that.
Well, you know what I would want, I don't know if you would know how I could get it, is the written music on all my father's music.
I don't think you can get that. Somebody would have to transcribe it from the records, from the recordings. No, that
mm-hmm.
that doesn't exist. I doubt if it exists. Because who would have it?
Well, I don't even know if they had it. Well, some of his Los Músicos, maybe if anybody living that played with him. I was concerned because I was giving my son piano lessons, and I thought, oh, I wish I had that music on paper.
Did he write it down?
I don't think so. My father was blind, you know.
So he would not have written it down. A lot of that written music is very likely not even written down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the big band arrangements, somebody had to have written those arrangements, and it probably mm-hmm. was one of those people that your dad played with. I think I've been told some of the Cáceres, who were very talented musicians,
mm-hmm.
played with him. And I think they were the ones who wrote the arrangements. And those things have a way. I wrote a lot of arrangements myself, and they have a way of getting lost very easily. I don't
mm-hmm.
know why. It's just very difficult to get that. But getting back to what I was, I know you have to leave, so I won't
mm-hmm.
keep you very long. You're going back to Houston, huh? To see your sister?
Yes, we're
on business?
Well, right now we're settling my mother's estate. That. Property that she had that has to be is being sold right now, and we have a lot of things we have to take care of there.
In Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Now, your mother was obviously Valdez's wife, but
mm-hmm.
I understand that at some point they were either separated or divorced.
Yeah, they were divorced.
For a long time before he died? Or?
Oh, yes. They only stayed married when my sister was 10 months old, and we're only a year apart.
And
so
he never remarried again?
Oh, yeah. He remarried.
About 3 years or that?
See, I guess so.
Did he have a family from the other marriage?
No.
So you're his only offspring?
Mm-hmm.
But your mother happened to live in Houston as well, but they
mm-hmm.
didn't maintain any contact.
Oh, no.
They lived
mm-hmm.
in the same city. Okay. Well, I've got some songs. That was good information right there that you gave me, all those
mm-hmm.
songs. So, see, I knew that you'd have things that you could talk about, even though you hadn't. I want to talk a little bit more, just for a couple of minutes, about your dad's, even though I realize you didn't live with him, but simply on the basis of it. Did he speak English pretty well?
My father?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Did he speak English better than he spoke Spanish? How was his Spanish?
His Spanish was good, but... His Spanish was very good, pero I think, towards the last that I can remember, he was more English-oriented. living in the jazz type world there, in that type of musical nightclub environment,
right.
He sounded more English.
Was that a nightclub frequented more by Anglos and Mexicans where you played?
I would assume. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we never went to that
time. ¿Hablaba bien el español, Valdi?
Oh, sí. Desde chiquito.
¿Ustedes le enseñaron a hablar español en la casa?
Pues cuando venía a la casa era todo lo que le hablaban español.
Pero cuando estaba chiquitito, que apenas nació, digamos que empezó a hablar, ¿él no se fue a la escuela hasta que ya estaba grande?
Sí, pues ya estaba grandito. Pues él cuando fue a la escuela era puro español lo que hablaba.
¿Y allá aprendió inglés?
Allá aprendió.
Okay.
I have some music that I recorded from my father.
I have never heard him record in English, by the way. All the songs that I have of him are in Spanish. But, you know, even when he sings in Spanish, I get the impression that there's a kind of an English tinge to his to his songs. You know what I'm saying?
Sing.
Let me see. I'd love to hear, you know, an English song just to see what it sounds like. We can play it on this machine if you want to.
See, I have a lot of things in here, but I'm not sure if
just for the record, I'm looking at a recording that Valde made that I was not familiar with Ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tú Eres Mi Pecado, Valde González y su orquesta, 886B. The flip side is Otro Bolero, ¿Qué He de Hacer? Valde González y su orquesta, 886A. Estos los tiene mi amigo en San Francisco.
Sí.
Cuando vaya para allá, digo, grábamelo.
Sí.
See, I know that he recorded for Ideal, but I know that he also recorded for that company that's on that picture, Melco.
Well, let me see. What about the reverse side of that?
Oh, sure.
Let's see what's
Let's
on
see
that.
What it's on. Anyway, you used to have at least a recording of your dad singing in English. Huh?
Yes.
Well, maybe when I leave here, if you look for it, and maybe your sister can play it for me when I get to see
it. In fact, I'm thinking maybe my sister has it. You know, I lent her a tape, and I think it was that one, of the last thing we heard our father say was when he was playing at my house, at our house. So I think she's got it. I'll ask her because I had it marked.
Okay. Well, I'll ask her about it when I see her. I just wanted to ask you one final question, still related to how music works in people's lives and how you know, social. Social interaction. I'm convinced that your dad's stay in Austin must have influenced his musical life tremendously. I mean, all of the musicians were influenced in one way or another. I mean, everybody in those years was leaning towards American music. They all liked to play swing and stuff. But among Tejanos, there was always the other side of the music, the ranchero side, and you had to play that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't play it, you know, como me dijo Adelia Gutierrez, something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the information that I've gotten from all the musicians I've talked to is that orquestas of those days sort of have to strike a balance between ranchero and, as Marroquín put it, high class.
Mm-hmm.
Some orquestas went more ranchero than high class. Like Marroquín told me that Beto Villero, que lo hacía popular, era que tocaba ranchero y high class.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sandoval and those guys, they played more ranchero than anything else. Valde, it seems to me, even though he did play some polkas and things, his trademark was a smooth, romantic bolero or fox.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right about that? As far as
see,
you know,
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, again, you go ahead and go out on a limb if you want to. Mm-hmm. Do you think that your dad liked American music more than he liked Mexican music?
I have no idea.
An Americanized style more than he liked the ranchero style, let's say? Since
I never talked to him about it. Just honestly, you know, like I told you, we were just children.
Yeah.
And he stayed on the road. We just, I just couldn't tell you. You'd have to just judge by the style of his music. You know, you that are in that profession, you would probably be able to tell more of how you would interpret his music.
Yeah, but it's always nice to hear it from
people here. Well, I wish we could be of more help. Like I said, our life went a different direction when our parents were divorced,
right,
and we were raised here. So, you know, as little children, we little girls, we didn't, I really don't know anything about his music. And then as we got older, that's when he stopped the orchestra. So he went more Americanized.
Right.
Yes, because I remember he used to have, well, back in the early 60s, he had a big, thick book that he called the Bible. And it was all the old songs in English. I remember the song, A Sentimental Journey, because I used to sing that. And my sister and I, would copy those songs out of his book. So back in the early 60s, he was more into Americanized music.
Right.
But while he had his orchestra, all the time he had his orchestra, he was Spanish.
Yeah, he played Latin.
In the Latino,
right.
Latin music. Once that orchestra stopped, he did not play solos, Mexican music. See, he went more to the clubs and played American.
There were Mexican clubs as well. But
he went to the American.
Probably because he probably made more money there than he would have, I don't know.
Possibly, I have no idea
there,
but that I do remember, that he, once that orchestra ended, he was more into the American type music.
When you visited him in Houston, did he live pretty comfortably there? I mean, did he,
yes,
was
he
living in poverty, or was he living pretty good comfort?
He lived in a mobile home right there off of Wall Drive. He wasn't married to the lady he was living with, but they lived for quite a number of years there.
In a mobile home?
A mobile home.
Yeah. Did he relied exclusively on the music for his his support, but did the state at that time, did they give him any,
mm-hmm.
like they do today when you're blind, they give you like a grant in aid or whatever they call it?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, you had to fend for yourself, blind or not.
Mm-hmm. And he was working, so he never claimed, any kind of disability. He worked till he died. And the only thing he knew how to do.
When you visited with him and you talked to him, did you talk like you're talking to me in English most of the time or in Spanish when you talked?
Tex-Mex, yes, just like I'm talking to you, Tex-Mex.
Switching back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I do want to thank you. I think you've been very helpful, more so than you realize.
I hope so.
More so than you realize. And I want to thank you, Maria, for being with us. And you mainly listened, but you did provide a couple of little details here.
Well,
but I think if you want to know more about his work in the orchestra, you would have to probably get more information from those that played with him.
Well, if I hadn't come here, I would never have known that he played with Ernesto Marroquin.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ernesto quite well. In fact, he and I, as I told you, we played together on several occasions, but in McAllen and other places. But I remember in 1962, I think it was, we made a recording with Magdalena Bustos together. And I happened to have that recording. It wasn't Falcone with the Americans. Anyway, I want to turn this.
Mm-hmm.